Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Now, they've known each other for years upon years, but collaborating on The Rodfather brought Roddy Collins and Paul Howard even closer. Welcome, gentlemen, to studio.
Thank you. Great to be here.
To tell us about...
Thanks, Oliver.
Microwave scones, feeding pigeons and dorkyphobia.
Roddy
and Paul.
Dorky.
Roddy, we spoke to you in April. And you were going off to Spain.
I only come back on Sunday, was it? Saturday.
You've been all that time in Spain.
Yeah.
You have a great life.
Well, do you know what? You only get one of them. You've got one life, so I'm going to make the best of it. And walking around in the sun and drinking glasses of red wine, at lunchtime, and swimming in the evening, beach, you know, going around an overcoat in Dublin.
Can I just say, Roddy sent me a video and he said, oh, the wine over here, it's so cheap, Paul. And I said, really? He said, yeah, have a look at this video. And he sends me a video. He said, what was it? 5 litres for a tenner was what you said, right? And he sends me a video. He's at the back of a truck. It's like a big petrol Bowser. And there's a tap on the back of the truck.
Oh,
and he's filling a 5 litre can with wine from...
That's true. I have it on my phone, Oliver.
He was filling a 5 litre can.
I walked into a little off-lush and got a bottle of organic wine. And it was like, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you're going to get a bottle. And it says 140. I said, 140 for the bottle. Now when you fill it, it's still only 140.
I said to Roddy, is it any good? And he said, I don't know.
So I'm down with a wheelbarrow now. I have about 7 bottles. I'm turning, where do you go, Rod? I'm going down to get the wine for lunch.
Just
for a big wheelbarrow.
Just set the truck.
A cube behind me. You know, they all got their little bottle that size. I have a big, huge load of bottles. Anyway,
Do you do anything else in Spain?
No. Do you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to extend my life as long as I can. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
So don't watch the telly.
Not sure that's
right.
The best.
I only listen to the Oliver Callan show. That's the only show.
From 10 to 11. 10 to 11, there. Spain time.
No, just basically trying to live stress free. Swimming, walking, going to bed early, and I don't know, it's great. And I do a weekly gloat. My kids put me on there.
A weekly what?
Instagram. The weekly gloat. I call
weekly
it.
Glow. I thought you were going to say glow up. I was going, oh, just
I sit on the beach once a week.
Sometimes he sits next to a yacht, by the way, in the harbour. And sometimes he steps onto the yacht and does his Instagram. And that gets tongues wagging. People say, God, you must have made a few bob out of that book.
Now the thing about it is, Paul, this is true. The kid said, Da, put your lovely blue shirt on, your white trousers, blah, blah, blah. I'm like a big agent getting dressed up for the communion now. And he said, and go down and stand on the marina beside the big blue boat, right? And I done it. And I come home and I'm trying to convince everyone to do it that I don't down that boat, right? I don't down the boat. Anyone out there listening? My boat is one beside it with the plastic slide.
He just stole it for a day. That was it. Paul, and you've got it's the last of the Ross O'Carroll Kelly books.
Yeah, Don't Look Back in Anger.
You were lucky with the title.
The 24. Oh, well, you know, I was absolutely blessed. And like all titles, you know, we decided on it, you know, about a year ago. And you're thinking, is it the right one? And I was thinking maybe it's a bit retro, back to the kind of throwback to the 90s. But Ross started in the late 90s and his music at that time was Oasis. So I kind of thought it fitted. And the week it came out, Oasis announced that they were getting back together. And they've done very well out of the book, actually. I noticed their ticket sales went through the roof.
Like, that's all from Don't Look Back in Anger.
We had a Don't Look Back in Anger window on Dubray. And when I saw the demand for tickets in Dubray, and I saw the demand for tickets, and I said, that's down to...
Can't believe Ross Caritelli has driven the entire...
Actually, made the reunion happen. Like, good luck to them.
Yeah.
Very down to earth.
Don't go on the beer with them.
Roddy...
Roddy, what did you make of the latest book? Have you read it?
I've never read a book in my life, ever.
You're
a giant book woman, I was in school.
Roddy definitely read The Rodfather because the audiobook version, which he narrates, is amazing. And that was one of the reasons we wanted to do this show. As I was writing the book, when we were writing this book, I did maybe 10 hours a day interviews with Roddy. Usually for most subjects, if I was ghosting them, 3 hours is more than I could handle.
Yeah.
And with Roddy, 10 hours at the kitchen table. And then I would go home and I'd transcribe the interviews and I'd say, these need to be heard. Like, they're fantastic to be read. They're funny to be read. But really, they need Roddy's voice. And he did it with the audiobook. The audiobook, people who've listened to it will tell you, it's absolutely hilarious. But with a live show, it brings it to that.
How
further
did you stop
degree.
Him drifting doing the audiobook?
Well, I didn't record it, but Paul Feegan, who records all the audiobooks for Penguin, called me and told me this stuff is absolute dynamite. But Roddy went through torture doing it because he thought he had to read
it. I thought
it
was the biggest punch in the class. I did, honestly. Yeah. Because I kept breaking down. You know, I kept breaking down on it. Like, you have to read it off in audio. And I was, like, I'd say, how are you, my old pal?
Yeah, yeah.
How are you, my old friend? Or something.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Like
yeah.
So it was different stuff like that. And I jacked up twice.
You walked out. He was sent down. Paul Lewis Coolock. And no, he didn't walk out. Paul's a great guy. He would have made a good football manager, actually.
Yeah.
He's like sending Roddy, his star player, go for a walk down to the Northside shopping centre. There's a pizza place in there. Go in and have a slice of pizza and come back. And Roddy did it. And really, you know, I said to Paul, you know, this needs to be Roddy's authentic voice. You know, I tried to capture the authentic voice in the book, but when he's reading it, you don't need to pronounce every hard T, and you don't need to say, how are you? You can say, how are you? Yeah. And that's what you did in the end. And the audio book, I mean, I know the story. I know all the stories inside out. And I still would throw the audio book on in the car and I laugh at every single story. You know, the story about the roast chicken, the story about Portadown, the story about you telling Caroline you won the lotto, the story about you teaching the travellers bare knuckle boxing. I mean, this is...
Did you kind of go home thinking, how am I going to research any of these stories? There'll be no documentary evidence that anything happened.
Well, the hilarious thing is probably, I think you said in your introduction earlier, Oliver, there's 200 stories in the book. And when we do these shows, Roddy will tell a story that I haven't heard before. And backstage, I'm just sitting there looking, I'm smiling, but inside I'm thinking, why didn't you tell me that?
Yeah. this is happening regularly, even when I'm sitting with Karen. He's going, Rod, why'd you never tell Paul that story?
Yeah.
Why does that one not in the book and all that?
Yeah.
But look, since the book finished, there's been a million new stories, you know. Yeah. Lots of good things have happened since, and a few mad things as well. But doing the audio one was the toughest thing, and it was a four-day job.
Four days.
That took 8 days.
It took 8 days.
Yeah, no, it stretched out too. But I thought I was getting paid per day, and I kept purposely, I dragged out, and Paul Finkel gone, Rod, come on, please.
I said to Roddy, you're not plastering anymore.
And also, Paul Finkel did say, go and have a walk. That wasn't what persuaded me to go back in. I rang Karen, says, you get back in there now. Okay, I'm sorry.
You talk about actually writing, the process of writing the book in the show, don't you? Because going to those meetings were important, because Caroline, I believe, is Roddy's wife.
Yeah.
Is a big fan of yours.
Oh, well, that's very nice. I mean, I'm a big fan of Caroline's. I've known Roddy and Caroline for about 33, 34 years. Yeah. And I covered Roddy's brother, Stephen's boxing career.
Yeah.
So I traveled the world on a shoestring. Like I had no money. I was a freelance journalist and I'd be covering a fight for 5 or 6 papers. So I'd be in like Atlantic City, New Jersey, New York, Meadowlands, Italy, Spain, everywhere, Hong Kong. Yeah. And I looked very, very young when I was 20. You know, I was young. I was 19 maybe. And,
yeah, but you looked about 12.
And I looked about 12. And I had these round glasses.
The Milky
and
Bar
they
kid.
Knew that me as the Milky Bar kid. Yeah. That's what they used to say. Yeah. Anyway, Caroline, we're sitting in the hotel lobby one night and Caroline said to Roddy, who's that young lad over there? He said, that's the Milky Bar kid. That's the boy reporter who covers all of Steve's fights. She said, he should be in bed. Like, you know, it's like 2 in the morning.
He should be in bed.
Caroline sent Roddy over to tell me to go
to bed. I'm pausing and say, group the bed, you. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. He says, don't have a bed. I'm back to Carol. He says, the kid has nowhere to sleep. Carol says, well, get him up. So we had we used to get upgraded to
the suite in Vegas.
So I pulled this mattress off the bed, put it in the corner, put the Milky Bar kid over there, and we'd be on the base. And then after that, wherever we went there, we'd book a room. All the lads mostly would go, and we'd book a room, and Paul was part of the booking of the room. Where are we going to fit the Milky Bar kid? Get him into that cot over in the corner there, you know. And that was it. And then when Paul made it, and became real famous. And everyone claimed, oh no, he stayed in my room, he stayed in my room. He stayed in Rose Park.
I can confirm he stayed in Roddy and Caroline's room,
yeah.
You reckon he became posh then with success, is that right,
oh,
Roddy?
Oh, you're having a laugh. Hello.
This is Paul Howard for Ballybrack.
Paul Howard drank lager with us in England, and and then suddenly I was in Lily Bardello's one night, hadn't seen Paul in years, and a bottle of champagne came over. And as when Stephen was the champ, people used to take, you know, recognise me and think I was Stephen. And I'm going, tell them I'm not Stephen. I don't want the champagne. I look over, there's Paul waving over. He's cracked it. Paul,
what happened was, Bono sent the champagne over. I intercepted it and said, Bono, I'll take that.
Your friend from Dorky, huh? Like when I went out to Dorky to see Paul, the RNLI was sent out. The helicopter. I took a picture beside the monument, you know, the big marble monument, wherever it is. And I said, Paul, I'm out in Dunleary. Are you around? And he's straight back. Says, don't tell anybody you know me. And I was trying, we were doing a show and talking, and I wanted to find out, because I'm thinking, no one knows me out there, no one knows me anywhere. But thinking, no one's going to turn up. So I was going down, how are you, Head? How are you, pal? What's crack? All right? And nobody recognised. Looking at me, who's this yahoo over here this side of town? Then the RNLI, I was expecting the loudspeaker, Northside yahoo, please get back on the train.
You would swear Roddy hasn't been anywhere further south than, what, Westmoreland Street?
Well, I didn't think there was any further south than Meade Street.
Have you tried to say hello to people on Westmoreland Street as well?
The south side to me was Westmoreland Street and Meade Street. That was it. I thought it was all countryside after that, you know. But when I got to Dog,
Game of Thrones,
that was posh.
So this was the Dorky Book Festival, was it?
We were at the book festival, we did an event there, and it was great. The way Roddy tells it, he needed subtitles to be understood, but you know, the audience seemed to love you out there. Dorky's a great football in town as well, you know, and we sold out in Dorky. I think there was about 500 people in there.
It was how it went, Oliver. We're doing the book tour, whatever, I don't know how you title it, and then suddenly we're having the crack. And then we went to Electric Picnic. That turned everything, didn't it? Went to Electric Picnic and you couldn't get into the tent.
We
got a great recognition. And then after that, MCD come on to us.
We went to Electric Picnic, and like Roddy said, there was hundreds in the tent. People were outside and everything. Yeah. And we finished the gig and I was leaving and I said, I see you, Roddy. I was driving back to Dublin and I heard, as I was walking back to the car park, I heard Roddy singing. What were you singing?
Grace.
No, you were you singing Wonderwall? Somebody had dragged him into a tent and somebody come in and do an interview.
Through the amp and everything.
And I could hear him going back to the car park. I was like, that's Roddy singing Wonderwall.
Bonus
which
show.
Which completely sums up Roddy's personality, right? I got a flight to Luton with Roddy about 2 years ago. We were going over to do some research for the book, and we're on a Ryanair flight, so we didn't pay the extra to be seated together. So I'm sitting at the front, and Roddy says, I see you at the end of the flight. He goes down the back, and within 5 minutes, I hear this laughter. I turn around, and the whole back of the plane is his audience. Like, you know, it's like
he just talks to everybody.
He wasn't making just one or two people laugh. The whole back of the plane was laughing.
We came back from Spain. I don't do that ticket thing. I love jockeying around. Like, Carla, they'd be up in 6B and I'd be down in 14F.
What do you mean you don't do the ticket? You don't sit where you're supposed to?
I don't pay the extra 15. It's not the money. I just love jockeying around, and I'd say, is that your friend up there yet? Do you want to sit beside you? And I sat beside a fella, right? And his wife was sitting beside Caroline. I was sitting beside him. And I go, is that your wife? Then he says, yeah. And I said, well, that's my wife beside her. Will I swap? And I'll leave her. Jesus, this is going to be a great holiday. That was on the way to Spain on a holiday. I thought he'd say, great, I want to sit beside me. Because I want to sit.
She's all right,
I said, well, I switch and you can sit beside your wife. And I'll leave her. Oh, it's grand, you know. But now, look, I just love talking to people.
He does. And when you go out with Roddy, every day is an adventure. Like, we were in Berlin during the summer. We were filming a travel show. We'll say no more about it for now, but we're in Berlin and Roddy's walking down the street and a woman passes him by and he says, oh, how are you, Angela? And the TV crew he was with went, oh God, no. So she shouted, excuse me. And they're like, oh, he's insulted this woman. And they turned around, it was Angela Merkel.
I called her Angela. I swear to God.
So
one of the chances, right? Roddy Collins and Angela Merkel. And they end up having this chat in the street for about 10 minutes.
I walked out of a restaurant. I was having been doing the bit of film and I walked out. And next while I seen this woman, I looked, I said, ah, how are you, Hangler? What's the crack? That's exactly what I said. And I put my hand out. I put my hand out, Oliver. And she put her hand out about 6 inches, then pulled it back. And the bodyguard put his hand on the gun. There was two bodyguards. He put his hand on the holster, right? And I went, I'm only saying hello. So,
what did you talk to her about?
The weather, whatever. You know what I mean?
How the travel program.
I was raised, she didn't say, Rod, how's the boot going? I was raised. I felt insulted. She didn't know me.
It's a pity we didn't have a copy of the Rod.
The two lads, Paul, they looked and she said, I said, that's Hangley, Michael. She said, no. 2 minutes later, she came back up the street.
Go ahead.
And I said, Hangley, I said, we're here, we're tourists, we're doing a bit. And she said, enjoy Berlin. That's what she said.
Yeah, very nice.
And that was it. But yeah.
That's a day in the life of Roddy Collins, by the way.
Seems to be just perfectly normal.
I'm sure she went home and said, I met the Rod father.
You'll never guess who I met.
She didn't even ask me for the selfie. I was raging.
Does the live show have a structure, unlike this interview?
It does. I mean, there's the stories. I say that the Rod father has this cast of characters from George Best, Liam Gallagher, the IRA, Muhammad Ali, the Russian mafia, an English safecracker, a roast chicken, and a doctored birth certificate. And they're just the bare
your
characters of it. But there's probably a set list of about 40 or 50 stories. My favourite is still the roast chicken. And I hope, will you tell it, please, Roddy? Like, it's just...
Tell it now. Mentioned twice. Tell
play now. Football, very important game. Our best player, pardon me, our best player having an absolute nightmare stinker, as they call it in the game. The manager calls me, find out what's wrong with him. I call him. I go back to defend the corner. And I said, were you out last night? Were you on the beer? Yeah. He says, no, Rod. I said, you're having an absolute stinker. What's wrong? He says, I'm at the leaving the chicken in the oven. Like, this isn't cool. I'll come in and draw. And I went, oh, no. He said, and Jane, was his wife, is in Cork. She's not back till tonight. Yeah. House can't be burned to the ground. I goes over. I said, lads, you're not going to believe this. I said, he can't concentrate. He left the chicken in the oven. They got his car keys before the motorway. Back down to the house, come back, game over. He corrected his play, everything was brilliant. Game over, in the shower, walk out. Sister manager walks in with a raw chicken, hammers it across the dressing room. You dope, you never turned the oven on. And that's because the lad that I tell you, he's a rod. Why do you keep telling us? Sorry, that's a true story.
Yeah.
And he can back that up, you know. But look, people say, are they true? Every single story, is true. Every story is true. Now, there's some Paul left out, which
and
was
Angela
very
Merkel
few.
Can verify some of them.
100%. Yeah.
Like people, only the TV crew were with us, Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't
have
believed that. No. I didn't tell anyone. They told you. I didn't take anything of it. I forgot about it, actually. No. But, yeah. But look, that's life. Like I walk around Spain. Come as that. That's my thing now.
Yeah,
I'll maybe in. That's all I know.
Yeah.
And I can order red wine in Spanish. I'm fluent at ordering red wine in Spanish. But that's it.
From the back of a truck. 5 litres.
Responsibly.
But the show does have, it does have a structure in that, you know, we know the stories and I can really judge from an audience what kind of stories they want, you know. Right. And generally it's, you know, Roddy's managed everybody in the League of Ireland, almost everybody. You haven't managed Pats, but like if it's a Rovers crowd or a Bows crowd, you know, I know to tailor the questions for them. The funny thing is the book starts off, and we always talk about this, the book starts off with Roddy sitting with Caroline in front of the television watching a League of Ireland match on a Friday night, mm-hmm. and the crowd are chanting, Roddy Collins, is a W word, is a W word.
Yeah.
Roddy just says, I hadn't managed for years. The two teams playing, I hadn't managed either of them. But this has just become a chant at League of Ireland matches that they sing Roddy is a W word. Yeah. And that's what we start with. But every show starts off with the audience singing Roddy Collins is a W word.
I won't come out unless they sing at the top of their voice.
And it is a feature of Roddy's personality that people who actually thought they didn't like Roddy Collins, when they read the book or when they come to the shows, they realise, actually, this guy is a national treasure, you know. He's got this wealth of stories. He's had this incredibly colourful life. He's an outspoken voice on the game. But also, it's the stories, like that bank of stories.
You're talking about structure, Oliver. I was asked to do one on my own. Paul's away. He's out of the country for it. And I couldn't do it.
Really?
No, I couldn't do it.
You have to have him beside you.
I have to have Paul beside me. Yeah.
Rein him in.
Yeah, I go off.
You direct him, I suppose, don't you? You direct them in a way.
Yeah, well, the thing about Oliver, you start talking to me now, we can start talking about those pair of glasses and we'd end up talking about something miles down the road. Paul knows when to start reeling the old...
Roddy's great with an audience. The first time I ever saw Roddy in action was 33 years ago. In the National Stadium, Stephen was fighting Danny Morgan. Yeah. Do you remember that fight? And Roddy was in the... We were in the ringside club afterwards. We were having a cup of tea after the weigh-in and Roddy is at the centre of this group and he's telling a joke. And the joke was... I still remember the joke, Roddy. Yeah. A fella says to his mate, "Why do you call your dog Locksmith?" And he says... Because I gave him a kick in the arse and he made a bolt for the door.
I still remember that joke. But he had an
audience around him, you know. And I think you could do it on your own, but I'm glad you asked me to.
I've worked on building sites all my life and I've been around football environment, dressing rooms, and I love the crack. Yeah. And I love standing up and telling the stories, you know, because like, I'd observe things on the way in and my imagination would exaggerate the story. I could see something on the way into work. And at 10 o'clock tea, I'd have an audience telling them, and the crack is 90. And I'd been doing it for years. And suddenly Paul says, "Right, Rod, let me direct you." And didn't even ask, it just developed.
Yeah.
And the book, by the way, it gave you a whole new lease of life.
It changed my life, Oliver.
It actually changed your life.
It did, because there was a narrative out there of Paul says, "Who I don't socialise. I go everywhere with Carolyn. I don't go into groups, go for beers and golfs and all. Don't do nothing like that." And people have a perception of other people. Or I could tell my truth in the book about my career, about my life.
Yeah.
You know, and people realise, hold on a minute, this is what happened at this football club, this is what happened at that juncture in your life. So you're not explaining yourself all the time. And it's just been brilliant. It's been, I have to say, I was walking around at 60 years of age thinking, what was it all about? What did I give my life to football, to everything for? And then Paul called me up and we've done the book and I thought, Jesus, no one's going to buy that, you know?
Yeah.
And then suddenly I can't even walk, even out in Spain. I'm walking around, people going, "Rod, the Rod Father."
And here you are, 2 years on, and it's a live show.
I've never had a book like this that's had a kind of afterlife, like where people, it's sort of still gathering momentum.
People who've read the book still want to hear the story.
Yeah, yeah. The great thing about Roddy, it's such a human story. And Roddy had this burst of fame about 20 years ago when he did a show called The Rod Squad on Satanta. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And, well, of course you remember that.
Documentary, yeah.
And he became sort of famous. And a lot of those clips are on YouTube now,
and
people are kind of discovering them again and loving them again. But what was interesting about when he finished at Carlisle, by the time the show aired, the second season, I think you were gone.
Yeah.
And there's a part of the book where he's back on a building site in Fleet Street the day after he's sacked by Carlisle, and he's plastering, and the lads are hanging over, you know, the scaffolding, shouting at him, you know, "I thought you were going to manage Ireland. Yeah. I thought you were going to manage Man United." So it's a very human story. You know, people who watch the Rod Squad, they don't know what happened the day the cameras were turned, the day after the cameras were turned off and everybody went home, that you went back to your real life.
Bro, I did believe I was going to manage Man United. I did believe I was going to manage Ireland.
You still do. I mean, you said to me about 20 minutes
ago. I did dream. I played for Man United last week. But it's an actual dream. And the boots were too small and my feet were killing me. And the crowd were all jeering me and all. This is a dream we had, right? So it's maybe I played. But
the white is definitely not good.
It's hallucinating. But I imagine, Oliver, right? I'm out there and I'm giving it the big I am, going to manage it. And then I'm on a bill site, which I've no problem. We're going to bill site tomorrow. I have to feed the kids. But I want them to build it. "Oh, no, it was tortured. Yeah, God. Blah, 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 blah." I stuck it till dinner and I just couldn't come on. "Mrs. Carolyn, I'll have to do something else. I can't take the stick. Let it die down."
Ring
for
Paul
a while,
Howard, you know? Let's get a book going.
What is your history with the Ambassador Theatre, which is where this show was going? It was a nightclub. Did you go there when it was a nightclub or something?
I did once, yeah. I went, it was a nightclub. Bad experience that night, but I won't go into that one. But very bad experience that night. Yeah, me and Bonners O'Connor. It was called Romanoff's at the time. And seen a very frightening thing happen in there one night.
Oh, God.
Well, I was only in it one night. I was only ever in it once. Will I tell you what happened? Will I tell you?
It's kosher, yeah. Paul looks worried.
Will I tell it, Paul?
No, we won't.
We'll keep it for the show.
Stephen opened
the Rocky film there with Jerry Creighton of the Zoo. You know, Big Jerry?
Yeah, yeah.
It was the Zoo for RTE. And he boxed with Stephen. So they done a little mock-up boxing match outside for the Rocky film. But now the ambassador, just, honestly, Oliver, truthfully, I can't believe this is happening. Honestly.
The people who come and watch a telling story.
I can't believe it.
Yeah,
I mean,
and it's O'Connell Street, you know.
You're going to have to struggle there, Paul.
No O'Connell Street there.
He's from Ballybrack, for God's sake.
Can I just say,
oh, no, he's not. Roddy, he's talking now.
Roddy says I'm the poshest fella he knows, well, right?
I start my low Barnum.
The second poshest fella he knows is Brush Shields.
Brush Shields from Cameron. Ventry Park, Brush. Good dub. But no, when we were doing a bit of promo for it, yeah, I had to just say, look, everybody on the north side of Dublin, you know, come. It's going to be near Christmas time. Mm. Come. Wear your Christmas clothes. We'll have a good Christmas night out. And I said, and everybody from the south of Paul, wear what your mammy tells you to wear. Don't forget to comb your hair.
Our tech system wasn't working great there for a while, but I think it's coming back up and running. But we're going to take a quick break. We come back with some of the messages and loads of other things to ask you back after these. Someone says, I love Roddy's book. Listen to it. Listen to it on Audible. Laughed most of the way through. There are a few characters. There are very few characters like Roddy left. He's brilliant, says John in Kilkenny. Fans everywhere. Best laugh ever. Love him. Has a fantastic memory, says Roisin in Dunboyne. Someone says, this is an effervescent start to their morning, so thanks to the lads. This person, I worked with Roddy in the 1980s on a building site in Blackrock.
Oh no.
He was such a crack, so endearing. But the work got done. I thought the work never got
that
done.
That was a forced. Eventually.
We might have had to legally edit that one or something. The work was done. Was there anything you might have left out of the book or that you were going to leave out?
There was one mental health issue that was a bit sensitive in the family.
Yeah.
Caroline sat down with our sisters and a whole lot. Well, it was actually Paul who decided to put it in, and everyone was delighted at the end.
Yeah.
You know, because... Yeah.
You handled it very sensitively. You know, it's a family story of schizophrenia.
Yeah.
And it was handled so sensitively. And
yeah, well, the whole thing that I highlighted is that the person involved never got the right medication his whole life.
Yeah.
And then eventually at the end, he passed now. But at the end, he did. But that was something that was... Other than that, I just left it to Paul, to be quite honest with you. And, you know, and there are stories in it that I would have given to Paul and been a little bit, you know, nervous by how Paul manipulated and done up in his expertise, made it look, you know. No,
like nothing was left out because, you know, for any other reason than we just had too much.
I think
it's about 350 pages long. It could have been 3,000 pages. And that's the thing about writing. Writing is all about editing. It's all about cutting back.
And you're brilliant at the rhythm, of course, because you have great crack 1 minute and then there's a life lesson suddenly. So
yeah.
Like that.
And that's what Roddy's life has been like. You know, it's sort of fun and games one moment and then there's something serious to deal with. And, you know, you've dealt with adversity very, very well in your life as well. And that's all part of life story.
But that's the other thing about it. Even your own, when you're reading it, you go through your life, Oliver, right, and you just march on and you group every day and whatever comes, blah, 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 blah. But when you actually put it down on blocks and look at it, from the time my father passed to Carolyn's father passing to Carolyn having a baby, there was only a period of 4 months.
Yeah,
really?
We lost two parents and I had a baby and all. And you look at it, how did we get through that?
Yeah, how did you mentally survive?
Yeah, look, if you were to look forward and say, this is going to happen, you go, oh, how are we going to sort this out? But I just believe you get up and march on. As my uncle Roddy O'Rourke always says, Rod, just keep marching on.
Yeah.
That's it. Today is today. Tomorrow's gone. Whatever happened, you can't change it. March on. You know. And
but you're a very positive person. Like you are. Your outlook is positive. Like you're not, you don't get down in yourself and think, oh.
No,
you know,
I don't. Honestly, don't. I never. I never.
Wow, what a gift.
I never. Yeah, and it's something people say, like they'd ask me kids, is your dad like that? And I don't wake up negative.
Yeah.
And it's not like one of these, you know, I'm a positive person. I just do what I do. And if I see something, I see the positive in it. Like if I see, like as someone said, if the roof was blown off the house, I'd say, you grab that corner, you grab it, and we'll hold it till the storm goes by. That's just, thankfully, I got that from my mother, you know.
I used to go to Roddy's house when we were doing the book, and I'd stand outside the door. And the rule was, I'd always knock. And they said, don't be knocking, just come in. Just the door's always open, you know. Probably shouldn't say that. But I'd stand outside the door and I could hear Roddy and Caroline having the crack in the house through the door. And that just puts you... You put me in good form, Roddy. You really do, like, for the day.
I arrived at the house,
I'd be tired and all this, and I just hear this laughter coming from the house. And after how many years of marriage? You and Caroline are together
47 years together now.
47 years together. And they're still making each other laugh, you know, and still, you know, just...
No, Caroline laughs at me now. She used to laugh with me. Now she laughs at me.
You love going to the house because I got Caroline did the place up just for Paul.
No. See, this is
for
it,
Paul's
right.
visit. What happened?
Caroline says, where does Paul write the book? How does this work? Comes out, oh, Jesus, Rob, you better get a painting, right? So we got a painting.
So she was worried that Paul Howard was coming to the house.
Howard, yeah. And so
it triggered a renovation.
It's coming to the house.
The Milky Bar kid,
new throw-ons, as they call it. You know about this, Paul. New cushions, everything right. Coffee table. So I put the logs in the fire and, you know, and it, as Paul said, it was like a Christmas card picture.
So like Paul arrived. It's like a Christmas show.
I usher Paul in and he goes, and he looks at him and he goes, he says, what's this? And I says, well, this is what we do. We say, ah, no, we want to go into the madness in the kitchen. So I said, okay. So Paul gets up to walk into the kitchen and he takes the handle of the door. The handle comes off in his hand.
Oh, no.
It's been broke for years, right? And Paul is the most patient, absolute patient person, right? The most inoffensive man I've ever met in my life. And we're sitting there. And after about four visits, Paul goes, Rod, please, will you do something for me? What is it? Will you stop the drip in that tap over there? The drip was in the tap for about 5 years, right?
Roddy and Caroline's house.
I used to call it a feature.
Roddy and Caroline's house is just a snag list of things waiting to be done, right? Just like
I'm on the floor.
They're having too much crack.
There's a famous story of Roddy's house where he took the door down to use it as a wallpaper and table when he was decorating.
That was the old days, you know. And
he put it back up, but somebody pulled the door and
put it back up. One screw in each hinge fell back down. But then the biggest one, the downstairs toilet, right?
What's going on there?
Now, nobody's to use this, okay? Now, we've three adult kids living with us, 17, whatever. Next of all, Paul arrives. That's your toilet, Paul.
You get the personal toilet.
Executive toilet.
Next of
yeah,
all,
yeah.
Paul arrives at 8 o'clock, 10 to 8 one morning at Carnish Shells. He was out there using Paul's toilet.
Me palm olive had already been opened.
Special toilet paper. You know the one with the dog on it, the real expensive one.
Four ply toilet paper.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
We'd be queuing up upstairs to the bathroom to use the toilet during the day.
Mr. Howard's toilet is not to be touched.
But we had, like I said earlier, we 10 hours a day at that kitchen table.
Yeah.
Laughing. Just.
Well, Paul, you're a brilliant storyteller, and I don't get it with many people. I love Tommy Cooper. I used to laugh at Tommy Cooper. But Paul makes me laugh. Not many people. And Caroline, God love her, she broke her neck through the book. That's another story. Broke her neck. She was upstairs in a colliery. And she came down one day, 11 o'clock. She says, lads, are you going to write the book? And she's going to laugh all day. We used to sit there from 8 o'clock till 11. Oh no, 10 o'clock was the break. And I got introduced to scones.
Scones on the
scones
outside,
with
yeah,
cream
yeah.
and jam and everything.
You got a scone.
But they had to go in the microwave as well.
Roddy put a scone. Roddy thinks a scone needs 7 minutes in the microwave.
Wow.
The thing was just rubble when it came out.
It was like dry field.
Right, it's no, not right. It's a jet spray, Roddy.
No, you're exaggerating. Carolyn said to me, Paul likes his scone in the microwave. Just put it in for 20 seconds. I put it for 3 minutes. I didn't. Next of all, ding, I went and there was this little marble. So
marble.
I give a little lump hammer to try and soften her
Maria
up.
Burke, Maria in West Cork is saying that she's in the car laughing. She's asking, I hope you come to Cork. Are you going to go on the show on the road after
We'd
the Ambassador?
We'd love to. We did go to Cork. We were in Kinsale with the show just over a year ago. Yeah. We'll bring it on the road. We definitely will. This is the start. You know, we've got the gig in the Ambassador on the 30th of November, and we're doing one in Clonsilla on the 1st of November.
1st of November, the Clonsilla.
Jerry wants you to go across the Shannon as well, asking. So
we will. Yeah, we would love to. Like I said earlier, Roddy's managed everywhere, and in many of those places, he's still remembered fondly. Yeah, in several of them.
They'll sing the song of course. Roddy Collins is a banker, you know.
Yeah.
This sounds like, but come here. Oh, it's just great crack. And you know what I love, Paul? I love it. When you get in the crowd, and the laughter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Into the Q&A.
Feel the atmosphere.
Yeah. Here, I can't let you go. We have to go to an ad break. Actually, we'll take the ad break out of the way and I'll ask about the League of Ireland after this. Oh, I'm so sorry to take ad breaks because they've literally told about four stories during the ad break. The League of Ireland, in 30 seconds, Roddy, which is you're incapable of.
Brilliant.
Who is going to win the League of Ireland? There are four teams, possibly. Technically, five could win it, but it's between Shells, Rovers, St. Pat's, Derry City.
Do you know what? I wouldn't get back against Pat's. They've the best League of Ireland manager that's ever been in League of Ireland football.
They've
Stephen
won
Kenny.
Five in a row now as well, haven't they?
Yeah, well, no, Rovers, you know, I don't think will win the league. Shells need to get a back on track, get themselves back on track. But it's brilliant. But then at the bottom end as well.
It's
a brilliant season,
League
One,
isn't it?
And yeah, the right crowds the are up.
You've done
Dundalk, Drogheda, to go for,
Bowes down at
and
the
it's just, it's been a brilliant season. But, you know, Dover, going to lose sleep, but it doesn't come easy. Winning titles is very difficult.
Damien Duff, strength,
mental, psychological for everybody. So the psychological aspect of it is now.
And I should say that, you know, with all the laughs we're having and everything, we're talking about Roddy as a comedian, a great raconteur and everything. He won the League of Ireland double. And not many people can say that. You know, his first season at Bowes, he saved them from relegation. Season two got them to a cup final, and season three won the double. And then got sacked.
Well, you know, no thanks.
But 33 months, I didn't notice. A man rang me, said, "Rob, nobody in the world of football has ever taken a team from rock bottom to the division in the Indigenous League to win in a double ever."
In 33
Never.
Months.
So, look, it's hard, Oliver. It's very difficult. This is the hard part.
You were there.
You got to be strong. You got to be strong and stick to your gut feeling.
We're running out of time, but thanks to Philomena, who's had a great time there. It's great. She's in Lusk. They want you to cross Shan. Yes, we've done that one. Would Caroline do an interview to get the real story? Asked Dave and Kilkenny. And people are trapped in their cars, they can't leave. Listen to you.
Caroline won't even get to a photograph.
But they will get it all live and in person. Roddy Collins in conversation with Paul Howard, live at the Ambassador Theatre on Parnell Square in Dublin on the 30th of November, the last day. Tickets on sale now. Thanks a million, lads.
Thanks,
thank
Oliver.
You. And the Clonsilla on the 1st as well.
Oh, the Clonsilla on the 1st of November.
Important. In the safe areas for you.
That's it.